Hi, everyone. I'm Eileen Frere, along with the founder and CEO of The Company Doctors, Randy McKinley. And this is the Business Exam Room podcast brought to you by The Company Doctors. In this episode, we're going to shine the bright light on the business exam room table to look at where the jobs will be. 2.5 million jobs in the next 5 years will need to be filled. We're talking STEM careers at science, technology, engineering, and math. A nonprofit called Project Scientist is helping to get more girls and young women interested in STEM, boosting their confidence to let them know it is possible. Sandy Marshall is the founder and CEO of Project Scientist. She came up with the idea while working for NASCAR. So, Sandy, you've spent more than 20 years in nonprofit management, going back as well to the NASCAR Foundation that you founded. And how did you first get involved with NASCAR?
So I'd always worked in nonprofits. And actually, when we moved from California to Charlotte, I was hitting up NASCAR constantly to fund one of the nonprofits I was working for, which was Easter Seals. Finally, at one point, they're like, why don't you just come work for us and run our community relations department instead of asking us for money constantly? So I ran their community relations department. And then a few years later, launched NASCAR Day, National Cause Marketing Platform, and then launched the foundation.
How was it helping people?
Well, the NASCAR Foundation is focused on children and really harnessing the sport to do that. So, you know, they have millions of fans all over the country and the world. When I started it, it was really about tapping into that power and that fandom for good. One of the ways we did that was a promotion called NASCAR Day, which eventually was raising, $2 million a year just by selling $5 NASCAR Day pins. People would wear their pin and their favorite driver shirt to work on this day in May, and millions of dollars were raised for children's charities. So that's what the foundation does. And then we focused on our drivers as well and the power that they have of bringing good together. So a lot of our drivers started their own foundations or aligned with national organizations, and we worked with them to make the biggest impact possible for whatever their passion was.
Fantastic. Well, and fast forward to 2011, you started Project Scientist, and that was quite personal for you. Maybe explain that.
Yeah. Well, I was a pre-med in college and ran into some challenges with organic chemistry, lost my confidence after trying to get through it a few times, and thought, well, if I can't do this, then certainly I can't be a doctor. So I've always had an interest in science and a passion for it. When I was at NASCAR, started to work with NASCAR to get involved in STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. And as I was getting NASCAR involved, I dug into the research as to why there were so few women in these STEM careers and, you know, learned at various points of a girl and woman's life, they drop out of their STEM interests for a variety of reasons. And while doing that research, noticed that really the low-hanging fruit is at ages 4, 5, and 6, when all kids have an interest in STEM. Girls and boys are deciding that math and science are for boys at that young age. And so that's where I really thought, I had a daughter, she was almost 4. And I thought, I don't want that to happen to her. I want her to be as confident as possible and know she has all these options in STEM. So that's when I started to think through the idea of Project Scientist.
And that started with a very small number of people, right? In your guest house?
Yeah. So while I was working at NASCAR, I originally thought of it when I was home on maternity leave with my daughter and was seeing all of these global challenges happening in the world, from, you know, environmental issues to hunger. And I was thinking, if I had gone through and maybe gotten an engineering degree or something, I mean, I certainly would be using that knowledge to solve some of these problems. And that led to a lot of the research as well of 86% of women and girls that go into STEM careers are doing that to help people. They want to ultimately help people. And so I thought, if I could get more women at the STEM table, then maybe we'd see some traction in some of these global challenges. So out of frustration one day, I tried to find a program to bring to Charlotte to serve my daughter and her friends, and I couldn't find anything that serve girls as young as 4. And I walked into the NASCAR office one day, said, I'm starting a girls science camp in my backyard, and called my daughter's teachers and really started the ball rolling. Back, it was actually in 2009, maybe, I think, we started with 6 girls in my backyard.
You know, it's fascinating that you mentioned that. I would think there would be programs. Was it just limited to boys and it wasn't for girls?
Yeah. So at the time, there was a lot of conversation around girls and science and technology in middle middle school, because that's typically when they kind of drop out and really start to lose their confidence is in middle school. But also in 2010, the National Science Board came out with research that this 4, 5, and 6 age, like we really need to grab them at this younger age and develop those interests and support that confidence so that when they hit middle school, we're not having to change their mindset. You know, they're already entering into middle school with that confidence and long-term goals and interests. So there really weren't any programs specifically for 4, 5, and 6-year-olds, specifically just for girls. And, you know, there's a lot of research around separating boys and girls in these disciplines. Like when you have a robotics team, for example, if you have a mixed robotics team of girls and boys, a lot of times the boys will, I'm going to do the math, I'm going to do the engineering, I'm going to do the hands-on pieces. And the girls will either get pushed in or opt in to doing the marketing or the writing. And so, you know, there's a real benefit to girls all being together, each of them taking a piece of the work.
Project scientists, it's very hands-on as well, hands-on experiments.
Yeah. So typically our program in the summer, which is on university campuses pre-COVID, the girls are coming 5 days a week, some of them for 6 weeks. Each week is a different theme. And then at least 3 hours a day, they're doing hands-on science with these teachers based on that theme. So it could be anything from DNA to tech and coding to engineering.
And so they're meeting some incredible mentors as well.
Yeah. So every day they start out with a female STEM professional and they're meeting women from a variety of careers. So we're engaging over 400 women each summer to talk to these girls about their career, their education, obstacles they've overcome. And, you know, the research tells us girls are just as smart as math and science as boys. It's just that confidence that we lose and that vision for ourselves. So our goal at Project Scientist is to have them meet as many women as possible in a variety of fields. And then they also go out into the field and tour these companies so they can see the women thriving in this space and go behind the scenes of some of the companies that they know and have heard of. But now they're actually seeing, oh, I could work there. There's someone like me that's there.
Oh, absolutely. Does that mean your daughter's going to go to NASA now?
Okay, this is a funny story. So she started at 4. She's 14 now. So she's one of your typical teenagers, which is fun. And so she's kind of aged out of the academy program. But every Friday in the summer, the girls do a declaration. So we have a parent celebration. The girls put on a science fair. And then they stand up in front of, could be 200 adults, and state what they want to be when they grow up or what they will be based on the women they met, the tours they took. And so my daughter, of course, had been doing it for, you know, 9 years every Friday for 6 weeks. You know, she's over it by her last year.
All right, I was like,
yeah. Mom's not cool. You know, nothing I do is cool. So my husband was there and her little sister at the celebration, and everybody has the question you do when they see that it's the founder's daughter. They're like, oh, what is she going to say? What is she? Certainly she's going to be something phenomenal. I don't know that she will be, but she does know that, you know, that she can have a seat at the table and she knows the struggle she might go through and she knows that there's room for her. But the final one, she had been watching The Office, you know, like all the seasons within like a month or something.
Binge watching. Yeah. Okay. She started. That's good. Okay.
So she goes to her final celebration and declaration and she says, my name is Ellie and I want to be a receptionist. And then she walked away and I was like, a receptionist? Like, it's always been a chemical engineer. I want to blow things up. And I was just like, what the heck? And I look at my husband. He's like, The Office. Pam, The Office. Got it. So
that is brilliant.
That's fine. Whatever you want to be.
I'm supportive.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Have you actually been able to follow some of the girls, or are you able to track the girls that have gone through Project Scientist to see if they actually headed in the direction of a STEM career or field?
Yeah. So the original cohort that started in my backyard, they're just 14 now, but we've had girls join over the years at maybe age 10 or 11 that are now entering college. And last summer was the best because I got so many texts and phone calls from parents whose daughters are now graduating. And they like, I just want to let you know, my daughter is going to UNC Charlotte full ride in engineering. One of my favorite stories is Grace Pedroza. She started with us in Charlotte when she was, I think, 8 or 9. She's in her senior year now. We were so grassroots at the time. I was still working at NASCAR and renting a 15-passenger van to pick up a cohort of girls from a Title I school. And I would drive them to our campus for Project Scientist every morning. And Grace was one of those girls. And she called a few weeks ago. She is going to NYU on a full ride in engineering in Abu Dhabi. And when she was with us, she was hoping to be the first to graduate high school. And I remember we were working with her parents on, you know, options for her for college because she wants to be a surgeon. And they really wanted her to stay in Charlotte. And now she's going to Abu Dhabi. So I haven't talked to her parents yet about that, but I'm really excited for her.
Incredible. That must make you feel wonderful.
It does. And we're trying to, you know, figure out our Salesforce database so we can collect more of these stories and, you know, really track the girls. We're starting a 13 to 15 year old program and then a 16 to 18. So we can really hold their hand a bit more and make sure that they are successful in getting everything they need.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, reaching out to girls in rural areas and around the world, an expansion of Project Scientist that wasn't expected, and what's one of the best companies to work for if you're a woman in STEM. Sandy shares her insight. That's right after this.
Project Scientist offers hands-on immersive programs for girls interested in STEM. It's science, technology, engineering, or math. Virtual for now, but girls receive hands-on kits and learn from experienced, credentialed teachers. Project Scientist's popular expedition program brings home the relevance of STEM to girls through VIP behind-the-scenes tours of top STEM companies and hearing from female STEM professionals. Project Scientist also offers financial assistance for girls from under-resourced households. For more information, we have set up a link to Project Scientist on our website. That's thecompanydoctors.com, thecompanydrs.com. Click on charity and let's get more young girls involved in STEM and science and change the world.
The Company Doctors has a senior team with a combined 115 years of hands-on business expertise and includes a PhD, a marketing expert, IT specialist, a media PR professional, a former bank president, and Randy McKinley, a turnaround guru with more than 25 years of hands-on experience with Fortune 100 companies right down to mom and pops.
Better profits, reduce taxes, increase cash flow. Do you wish you could get results like that? Well, you can. To date, we have helped 68 companies and counting make more money with our bookkeeping and accounting services and best practices. How do we do it? Simple. We're a team of business professionals who have run businesses. We are certified professional bookkeepers, which is rare, and business accountants. We use our proprietary tools to get a 360-degree view of your business, to find ways, cut costs while making your books easy to understand, plus government and bank ready at all times. At Insecure Virtual Platforms Key Technology, we can execute all parts of bookkeeping and accounting seamlessly anywhere. And we give you access to our complete library of critical business competency courses free of charge. As you can see, we are the next level in bookkeeping and accounting for small and mid-sized businesses. If you have part-time bookkeeping and accounting or full-time or something in the middle, give us a call and do a comparison before you hire another employee or a bookkeeper down the street. Schedule your complimentary business review by visiting thecompanydoctors.com. thecompanydrs.com. Click on bookkeeper and then there's an appointment scheduler, and let's get your company the real value it deserves today, because you'll be shocked how inexpensive quality bookkeeping and accounting can be for you.
Now, when the COVID-19 pandemic hit, like many organizations, Project Scientist had to pivot to virtual. What started as a summer program for girls across the country and internationally went so well, CEO Sandy Marshall says parents asked for more.
Parents loved the virtual platform. Girls still get a science kit delivered every week. They work out of that kit. They're taught via Zoom through us. They have a STEM superstar every morning. They go on virtual expeditions from all over the world. Parents were asking, can you continue in the school year? Because we know our kids are going to remain remote. They're not going to have a hands-on science. So we started an after-school club, which has been phenomenally successful. So every Wednesday from 3:30 to 5, girls across the country, different time zones, different cohorts, are tuning in. They're doing 90 minutes of hands-on science. Kits are delivered every month. And so that's our club, our after-school science club.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was about to ask you, was about COVID-19 when the pandemic hit and how you would have to pivot to virtual. And it sounds like this is kind of a blessing in disguise in terms of being able to reach even more girls and young women.
It has been. We certainly miss, you know, the hugs and the hands-on and seeing the girls. But, in the past, moms used to call us from, you know, rural communities and say, you know, when is Project Scientist coming here? And the way that we were scaling was university site by university site. And typically, you know, your Caltechs, Georgia Techs, your top tier universities. So, you know, sadly, we'd say, I don't know when we're going to be in your neighborhood. But now we are. So we're serving girls from all over the country, some in Brazil, Switzerland, and working with our partners now, hopefully by next year, looking to scale to Mexico and Puerto Rico. And you know, but that was never anticipated. And this year-round program, this after-school club, was nothing that we thought would exist for us.
Well, you know, when I hear this, it sounds like it's just a matter of getting the word out. I don't think there's any limitation to your program, whether a geographical standpoint, and if you even look inside the United States, it sounds like it even transfers across the borders into Canada, Mexico, many other areas, because young ladies can have a chance to go learn about STEM and be involved, and it could change their world. Is there anything that could hold it back? What limitations are there for you now? Or is there any?
Well, I think it's changing. You know, we pivoted so well. You know, over 70% of our girls now are from under-resourced households. And so they attend through our STEM companies and foundation partners that fund their participation. Our customer has changed. We used to have 55% of our customers would pay to attend. And these were Nobel laureate children from Caltech or, you know, children of mayors of huge cities. You know, we had such a high quality program that we actually, as a nonprofit, it's sort of unheard of. We actually had earned revenue and paying customers. But now that the inequity in education is so glaring, especially with COVID and the need to have diversity and inclusion at these STEM companies, we're getting more funding to serve low income students. And I think now that the, you know, with COVID, everything's opening up a bit more, those parents that have options to take their kids to in-person programming are choosing that. So where 2 years ago, 50% of our revenue came from paying customers, this summer it may only be 30%. And it's really more coming from those foundations and corporate partners to serve low-income students. So it's thinking through that, and our customers changing and the need is different. So when we pivoted, we had to think through, how do we have equity for everybody? We need all the supplies to get delivered, you know, everything except scissors and pencils. For those that don't have technology, you know, we had to rent iPads. For those that don't have Wi-Fi, we had to get service. So we just have to think about a lot more than if you had one clear cut customer. We serve a few different customers.
So say this customer is in Alabama, Dothan, Alabama, out in the middle of nowhere. What's going to hold them back from being involved with your program?
I think what you said earlier on, just getting the word out for them to know about us. For example, we have free weeks available right now for girls that live in Charlotte and St. Paul and Minneapolis. And so we're desperately trying to get the word out. Again, if anyone's listening, projectscientist.org, if you're 4 to 12 in an under-resourced household, you can attend our program for free due to funding. So I think it's getting the word out is key. And then our corporate partners are just incredible. So we just made an announcement. We got our first $1 million investment through Trane Technologies. And
congratulations. That's huge.
Yeah. It's incredible. They've been a partner since, 2014, 2015.
And so every year we've gone. Who are some of your stellar corporate partners? Because the world needs to know this. This is a big deal. They have stepped up.
Yeah. Trane Technologies is phenomenal from a volunteer perspective, financial perspective. If you're a woman in STEM, you should go work there. They get it. Lowe's is one of our newest but largest partners as well. I mean, I started in Charlotte. They're headquartered there, and they're building a phenomenal technology center in Charlotte that is our partner. 3M is a great partner of ours as well.
Beautiful.
Google Fiber. So yeah, and they're, you know, we've had long-term partners year after year, and CoreLogic, I could go on and on, but they're investing in these girls, and then they're also volunteering. You know, they're the ones doing these virtual expeditions and in-person expeditions and having their female STEM professionals serve as superstars for us.
Well, and just take a step back. This is actually a big win for those corporations, because what people don't realize, you know, they're investing in that. Guess where they're going to go get their talent?
Yeah.
Right there. So they're grooming their talent. That was one of the things people miss is, you know, it's almost like recruiting for college sports. Yeah. You're working with them at a young age. So when they get up, when they can step into that workforce, you know, they're looking at, hey, can I go work for you? And they're going, absolutely. We want you on our team. They know you, part of the family already.
Can we talk a little more about some of the biggest challenges that women face in STEM?
Well, especially, I think we hear from our superstars, we hear from our college fellows. You know, it's still shocking, some of the stories that we'll hear. how they're overlooked for things, or just the blatant, you know, stereotyping or sexism, especially at the universities. It's really shocking to me in the labs there.
Wow.
And it's there's not all bad characters or bad players in it. But if you talk, you know, I'm a part of Graduate Women in Science and some of their events, and I speak to them, and I'm part of some movements with them, and you'll hear firsthand from them the stories that are told. And there's still that fear. There's nowhere to go with it. You know, they can't report it because they don't want to lose what they have. They'll never get, you know, hired on. They'll never proceed. So I think there's a real challenge in our university systems with that. It also goes with your question, the family friendly sort of policies too. So there's a ton of research of once women have children and they're in a STEM career, especially in academia, they, you know, it's just so much to manage the household and that career. And, you know, typically you're in the lab all hours of the night, you run down there, to, you know, when things happen, you're constantly on call. And once you have kids and, you know, tradition in society is most of that falls on the women. That's way challenging to do, is to manage the household and the baby, as well as being, you know, the baby is your lab. So you see a huge drop in women once they have children from some of these careers.
Well, I hope some of that'll change because, look, you know, like I said, through every bad thing on the planet, something good occurs. And with the ability, you look at the dynamics of the brick and mortar office, that is going to change dramatically now since COVID. So now you've opened up Zoom. Look at what we're doing. We were able to go, you know, operate from by using technology and a platform. And I think people are finding out there was that fear of, hey, it's not going to work if they're at home. They're not really going to get the work done. And guess what they're finding out? It's just the opposite. Almost getting too much work done. And you don't want to lose that intellectual property from those people. This is the thing. It costs so much more money to lose that person and try to bring somebody else in.
Yeah. So, and especially the value of perspective once you're a parent. You know, I think in the past it's been, oh, you know, someone has a baby, or, you know, people become fathers, mothers, whatever, they're not going to work as hard. But especially in STEM, you're bringing a whole perspective to a company. You're thinking of the future. It's not a short-term thinking. You're thinking of let's invent something that benefits my kids, that has longevity. And you're thinking more long-term. So I think, you know, in the past, it might be a stereotype or whatever that parents aren't going to work as hard or whatever, but we need to start thinking of the benefit that brings to your company of they're thinking of the future and they want to invest and work for a company that's thinking of the future as well.
Oh, absolutely. I think you nailed it.
Sandy, can you talk about some of the biggest leadership lessons that you've learned over the years?
Well, I'm not perfect. Say that first, but I think what we talked about earlier is being self-aware and hiring people that, you know, one, work on yourself, and then hire people that fill those skills that you lack. You know, I worked at NASCAR 10 years, and that's very business. It's male dominated, and it's, you know, bringing that to working with teachers and, you know, girls and women. And I sometimes have to become a little bit softer. And so I have people on my team. I'm like, we need to do like some team building things, or, you know, we need to give, can somebody go do that? Someone figure that out, you know? So bring in people that have, you know, the skills that you might lack, constantly remaining curious, because you don't know everything, especially in this world, you know, now everything is changing so quickly. You just can't get upset and be curious as to why people are thinking things or why the world is moving in that direction. And how can you make an impact?
And what would you say to girls or young women who are interested in a STEM career, but maybe they're kind of hesitant?
So, you know, STEM careers are the future. There's going to be, I think, 2.5 million jobs in the next, I don't know, 5 years, and they're not going to be filled. So if you want a job and you're a woman, I would encourage you to consider STEM. But there's a whole variety of careers you could have in STEM. I mean, from designing things, you know, if you're into arts, working for gaming companies, to PR, to marketing. It doesn't have to be your stereotypical working in a lab with beakers. There's so many careers in STEM, and it's really to set yourself up for the future, to really look into it.
Sandy Marshall is the president and CEO of Project Scientist, the nonprofit's vision, a future free of obstacles for girls and women in STEM. To find out more about Project Scientist's programs, to volunteer or donate, to help sponsor a scientist, we've set up a link to Project Scientist on the Company Doctors website under the charity link. That's thecompanydoctors.com. That's thecompanydrs.com. Until next time, wishing good health to you, your family, and your business.
The information provided is intended solely for educational and cannot be used as a substitute for professional advice and or information, as circumstances will vary from person to person and company to company. You should not act or rely upon information without seeking professional advice. Do not attempt any of the suggestions, actions, solutions, remedies, or instructions discussed on this podcast without first consulting with a qualified professional. The materials are not intended to be, nor do they constitute actionable professional advice. Transmission of this information is not intended to create a professional-client relationship between the company, doctors, and you.